We can't lose. No, we can't lose.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily affected.
We have a shooter and a good one coming out for a new point. Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point is nine. Place nine. Nine a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
They bet on absolutely anything. Don't make them hurt.
I finished up, I don't have any total, I mean, the tournament as a whole, I don't have complete numbers on because I just bet so many games.
You're tuned in to Gambling with Good Juju.
All right, grouchy old man, Jeffrey.
Jeez.
Came in firing bullets.
Right, no governments, dude.
Did you bet on the Masters, yes or no?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Promo bets.
Only?
Only.
What'd you bet on?
A couple dudes to win, somebody to do top 20 or something.
Did it hit?
John Rahm. Shout out John Rahm.
And you cashed?
Cash.
And you had John Rahm? Kurt?
Yes. Yes.
And you cashed?
I cashed, yeah, I cashed.
Like pre-flop, but you're complaining about it.
Well, yeah, it was very underwhelming cash because I played all the promos, which totaled $200, and then he cashed for $230, and it was like, I made $30.
That's the only one you hit? Like, we hit...
Yeah.
There
what
was
else
a,
was I supposed to hit?
There was a everybody makes the cut bet that somebody accidentally slipped down, so Tiger Woods made the cut for the 23rd time.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I did hit that plus 150 FanDuel boost. I thought we were talking about you
outrights.
Bet on the winner. Yeah, outrights. That's why it was a...
You had that many promo outrights?
I had like eight of them.
Jeez.
Barstool had three.
Oh, they don't count.
What do you mean they don't count?
Banned.
Oh, okay, banned. Okay. Barstool had three. Bet Rivers had one.
Okay.
MGM had one. Everybody had one. So there was eight total.
Okay.
I think I got to five. So that makes sense because I'm banned on Barstool. And I had Rahm as well. So all three of us hit a Masters winner.
We did. Whoop, whoop.
That's awesome. But for some of us, it was more joyous than others. I know that personally for myself, I came out multiple $100 ahead on the Masters as a result of this. But Kurt.
From your winners.
From my winners.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I used a couple of free bets to get in on them. So, you know. Convert those however you want, I guess. But I still won a lot of money.
Loosey goosey on the math on that, but okay. But Kurt, you did have the world's sourest victory lap on the Masters. You had Koepka.
Hold on a second. Real quick. I want a piece of advice then here.
Okay.
So I had $75, I think, in cash wagers. I had $225 free bets. I won $250 or whatever. So how would you do that accounting if you used two free bets and $75 in cash for your total futures market?
Did you use a free bet on John Rahm?
No.
So $0.
$0.
It's like they never existed.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you laughed at me for saying I had sketchy math, but would you have accounted it any different?
Well, you said convert them how you'd like.
But it's not like I lost 25. It's not like I had $125 on the line when I lost it.
Right.
Yeah, you only had 75.
So this is the problem. When you're talking about, like, even when we were talking about college basketball, it was like, well, you know, I had this much cash and I had this much in free bets.
Right.
And I don't know what to tell you when you're like, how much? I did not lose.
I did not
risk $125. I risked $75 and a couple free bets.
So, like, for the sake of conversation, maybe it's just a matter of, like, I had five golfers.
But at the end of the day, I feel like if we just assume a 50% conversion or something, it'd be like I had $100 on one.
Ah, so you want to assume the conversion and the amount of risk.
Well, how are we going to talk about it, boys?
You had five golfers.
I had eight golfers.
Yeah, I would say you put 75 cash on it and you cash with Rahm and you made X amount of profit.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how I would handle it.
All right. Well, then we're good there. So no sour note for my victory lap. That's legit.
No, banger victory lap from you. But Kurt.
All right, Kurt.
Kurt tweets out.
I put out a grumpy tweet.
Capcat 35-1.
I had Brooks, plus 3,800.
So 38-1.
And he's up four strokes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, this is great.
So the best part. Okay, so it's yeah. Sorry, he lost. I'll start there. Like,
sorry, he also was up four strokes, not like on the last day or the last round.
Really?
Didn't he go into a two-stroke lead going into the final round?
Because don't forget they got flipped immediately.
Yeah, they did the end of round three in the morning.
So at some point in the tournament, Kurt's golfer was doing well. So now he's what? Frustrated?
No. Well, I thought going into Sunday, I had a four-stroke lead. Apparently, I was mistaken.
It might have been going into Sunday, going but into the third round. Oh, okay, because they delayed it, so we still had a round and a half to go.
Okay, right. So, yeah, I woke up, saw he was up four strokes. I was like, "This is great."
Well, I thought it was
funny. Gravy train.
I thought it was funny because you're like, "Oh, another woe is me. Let me light my 35-1 ticket on fire."
38.
This is panning out to be the bankroll destructive day of my life. But don't worry, I had a +9-1 on Rom. That was the funny part to me.
It's funny.
That's why I'm calling it like the world's sourest. Yeah, right. The world's sourest victory lap. Like, right. You're still victory lapping. Like, I hit a 9-1, guys. But you're also like, whoa, God, I am the worst gambler.
I lit the +3,800 on fire. It is gone. It's in the fireplace. But let me just reach out of my back pocket and pull out the 9-1.
Yeah, right. Like, hit 9-1 bets is pretty fun.
So Koepka was a promo bet?
Yeah. Yeah, I made Koepka a promo bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. He faded, as you might have seen.
Yeah. Well, I just...
So there's actually...
Tuned in, made the tweet, right?
Yeah, turned it off immediately, moved on to hockey.
Exactly.
What? How many did he end up winning by? Rom, four strokes. Was it four strokes? You ended up one
of them. Walked around the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of talk about Koepka and the LIV golfers and the fact that they don't golf as much. They're not practicing as much. They're kind of doing their own thing, living a little bit more stress-free lifestyle. Three out of the top five golfers in the Masters came from the LIV Tour. But also you could kind of see on Sunday, you know, Brooks Koepka wasn't quite prepared for those conditions
physically.
What happened was he got a lucky draw Thursday, Friday, and he didn't have the difficult conditions that others dealt with early in the week
weather.
So then when Sunday came, the ones who dealt with that weather kind of knew better how to deal with it, and Koepka really struggled with it. I am now paraphrasing one person I listened to on this topic.
Sure, that makes sense. That's good. Okay, so speaking of Liv, now I didn't watch a lot of the Masters. I did watch more than I ever have before of the Masters. So use your own judgment on what that is. But I did enjoy Sunday. Speaking of Liv, like Phil Mickelson just coming out of nowhere.
Dude, everyone has got to like, did you see him rocking the Darth Vader look, by the way?
Oh my God, that was awesome.
The all black.
Like with the shades on and the black from head to toe, like... That was the coolest thing I've seen in golf since like Tiger Woods won his first tournament when I was 8 years old.
I mean, how great would it have been if Rahm and Brooks just fell off and was like they all tied at the end or something like that.
It would have been so cool.
Right. And then Phil wins it.
And there were all the rumors about like charging the green if a LIV guy won. Like I was kind of hoping to see that, right?
Yeah.
I ultimately was a little sad because I look at a player like Brooks Koepka and now it's okay, I get to see him four times a year.
It's on CW. Shout out to Friendly Valley. Bartender of the Friendly Valley, Ryan Kenny, told me that.
I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it on the CW. I'm saying that no one cares about it nationally. Right. And so it just, I'm never going to openly think about doing it.
Sure. And it's like FanDuel is never going to give us a LIV promo.
Right.
No, it... Also, the thing I thought about on Sunday when he just totally blew this lead was just like, I mean, think about the legacy, right? He's going in to potentially the last day. I mean, I know there was a leftover on Sunday to play, but he's going in like I'm four strokes ahead in the Masters.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm getting ready to make history.
Yeah.
Right? I've been grooving, like I'm shooting the ball well. I got all the tricks in my bag. Everything's going perfectly the way I want. And then it just fades, right? And it's just gone from you. Like that moment in time in history, it's just gone. And that's huge, right? I mean, like, he'll remember for that. Him. For, yeah.
Not for everybody
but
else.
I just felt bad for him. I'm like, man, sure. Dude, like, put myself in his shoes. I was just like, God, don't want to be that. But, yeah. You know, he make $5 million for second place or something? So, like that.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like you want to talk about a woe is me tweet.
The yeah. Second place of the Masters.
Second place of the Masters.
Back to Abu Dhabi.
Let me make my cool $25 million this year. Right.
Brooks Koepka made a lot of money
yeah.
for whatever place he finished in.
Yeah.
And at
yeah.
the end of it, he went and hopped on a private jet and
sure
flew
did.
Off to where he was going next. So yeah. I feel no sympathy yeah. for Brooks Koepka.
Right.
And I think he is one of the more impacted players by the decision to move to LIV instead of staying on the PGA Tour.
Oh,
and he was a big brand name.
Yeah, yeah. He was a big deal.
Yeah.
Him and Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just how little I know. I didn't even know those guys were in the
everyone outside of like those two guys, I felt like had some sort of baggage associated with them that made sense for the move. I just don't really understand their. They seem like two guys who get nothing out of golf if not the competition against the best in the world. And apparently I was wrong on that. That's
sure.
weird.
Yeah.
So.
Well. I mean, it'll be neat. Somebody from LIV is going to win something someday, and then things will maybe start to change. But until then.
Outside of the Masters, that was a really boring sports weekend, by the way. I mean, NBA, no yeah. one cared about. NHL's yeah. wrapping up. Yeah. Baseball's kind of like in it now.
We had the fight.
It was
Did
a pretty
you guys
boring
watch the fight.
No.
No.
I watched Curtis versus some guy I didn't bet on. While I was playing roulette Saturday night. Like, it's kind of why I hung out on the roulette wheel for as long as I did, because the game was on right there. But I bet on Curtis and he lost, and I didn't even know which guy was which when I'm watching it on TV. So I'm just like, yeah, everybody punch each other. But yeah, boring sports weekend, to your point.
Yeah.
That's why we went gambling.
So to try to fill in the gaps then, figure out what we're going to do. To have fun in different ways. You had a thought
on yes.
something that you refused to tell us. So why don't you go ahead and unveil that?
So yeah, background tease at the post-production show meeting last week. Congrats. This is officially episode three, right? Officially episode three. Good news, bad news on that, right? We've made it this far. That's awesome. We're out of free space on our podcast hosting platform. And, you know, this is becoming a legitimate, important media company for
right.
our fans. So needless to say, despite all of the commercials we do for our favorite handicappers and sports books for free dollars.
we do.
We got a little bit of a cash flow problem. Let me put it that way.
Real quick, how are t-shirt sales looking?
Yeah, outside of those two I bought... I'm sorry, Kurt, you didn't get one because you weren't on board yet.
We're trending around zero, you're saying?
Do we have a negative cash flow balance? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to, you know, I don't want to give out too much to the shareholders, but we got a cash flow problem. All right, so we're going to need some things. We're going to need podcast hosting. We're going to need maybe a website someday. We're going to need, I brought it up multiple times, koozies. We're going to need a t-shirt for Kurt, the third host on the show. All right. So we've all agreed, like, we need a little injection of cash, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. So let's bet on something.
I agree. That's genius.
Right?
Let's win right. our cash flow.
Let's bet our cash. Yeah. Let's bet on something every however many often. And then that's how we're going to cash flow this thing until Pete lands us our first sponsor.
That's a great idea.
So, all right, yeah, like, what do you, we just want to pick a number, or we could literally just play blackjack out here one night, and we could throw dice, we could play DFS, we could do anything.
I've been quiet so far, but I have a thought.
All right, let's hear it.
I want one of us to have a craps table, and the craps table settles disputes.
Oh.
And we take it to the craps table.
Take it to the craps table. Like, who's going to pay this month?
And then we figure it out from there.
Yeah. All right. So I have been
until
asking...
the costs get to a point where that is not reasonable.
All right. So I have thought a lot about acquiring a craps table. And I've looked up into that on the internet. So to purchase one is like $5,000. So let's say we have a bigger cash flow problem now than we did before if we need a craps table. Not saying I'm not going
we
to make
get
one.
A cheap or make a cheap
Yeah, we're going to make one. We're going to make a craps table.
Okay.
And I have been talking to a couple of strangers on the internet. I don't remember their names now on Instagram on how to like play craps with your friends in like a tournament style. That's what we're talking about, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll figure that out.
We're going to bet against each other on things. Winner doesn't contribute their cash flow. Losers contribute their cash flow.
Something right? like that, right? So it's like we already want to gamble. One of us just is the house once a month on something.
Okay.
Or whatever. We bet against each other. We play rock, paper, scissors. I don't know. But I've seen you.
Let's
do it. I've seen the two of you bet on some really stupid things in
all right,
your life.
Here's what I want.
All right.
We will start talking about creating the craps table. You need to start, RJ, focusing on this tournament style craps strategy because I want to know more about it for personal reasons and I want our audience to know more about it.
Yeah.
So let's look into that.
Okay.
In the meantime, tentative yeses from Kurt and I as a group. We'll figure out craps table, and then we can pull in some of the locals. We can grab Stevie. We can grab Mark. We can make the craps table initiative a broader point of utilization.
Sure. Like, we could just open a little illegal casino and just keep the house and then bankroll our entire podcast boiler room style.
No. For those listening in, we are not going to illegally fund this podcast.
Especially since you gave everybody my last name in the beginning.
But let's get into it. Okay. Because that reminds me of a topic that we certainly want to discuss today because we've been hyping our trip to Vegas internally for quite some time. Mm. But I feel like the podcast itself has kind of detracted us a little bit from this upcoming Vegas trip.
It's been a sacrifice. You're welcome.
It has certainly been a sacrifice. RJ and I have bugged the rest of the crew less, I think, since we started this.
Absolutely.
Than we were when we were even further out from the trip. But now we suddenly find ourselves like, less than 4 months? Around 4 months away from the trip?
Are you serious?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So 4 months away from the trip, and we're talking about different ways that we are excited for the trip and the topic of, well, what the heck are we going to gamble on there came up. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to ask RJ, based on everything you've been seeing and betting on and talking about with regards to craps, is that what you're most excited to get into when we get to Vegas?
I mean, I'm not saying craps is the most exciting thing in my life. That would be a little sad, but it's up there. So yes, going to Vegas, like, I am going to hit every downtown casino in a day. That's my goal. Just to play craps.
There's Friday?
13, I think.
We get in late Thursday? Are we going to do it Thursday night before we go to bed?
Oh, my God. Nobody goes to bed until we hit every craps table.
And
challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
That would be so disgusting.
We're not going to get in until after 10 o'clock, right?
It's like 12:30 in the morning.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm in.
We don't even check into the hotel. We just have our luggage.
I mean, you could do it if you shot
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder if that Kearney football game is still located.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
On the strip.
Shout out O'Shea's. Shout out Old O'Shea's.
Old O'Shea's.
Old O'Shea's had the football game.
If they still had that, that would be my number one. But
I'm going to have to look that up on the internet. Certainly somebody remembers that and like has the rules. We can play that on our craps table.
Yes,
we'll have one half can be Kurt's Kearney football game.
Did you win money or lose money?
I won money.
No way.
Yes.
You were there for hours.
It was a great game.
No, my God.
You couldn't lose.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't lose.
Kurt is insinuating that there is a game on the Las Vegas Strip where you couldn't lose.
The mind of a true degenerate. A game that the one casino literally made up and nobody has ever heard of outside of O'Shea's.
Because they lost money.
Oh.
Okay. So what's your favorite casino game
right.
in real life?
So since nobody has what are you most excited to play when you get there, Kurt?
Oh, craps.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Craps.
Without a doubt. Pete, we're going to really need you to pick up.
Yeah, you got to pick up the
craps study.
Yep.
At the very least, the study.
Yep.
I'm not most excited to play craps.
You will be when
I'm
you play with
us. I'm going to. I'm going to play
craps
to the level you guys do because I know I need to.
Yeah.
Am I totally lame to say I'm most excited to place a physical sportsbook wager?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, because we can do that tomorrow. We can do that. I mean, they're closed now. They close at 9.
Yeah.
But we could do that tomorrow.
But like, yeah, while you're talking about going and playing craps at every casino in downtown Vegas, I'm like, yeah, but like maybe if the Cubs game's on, I'm just going to slip on over to the Circa Sportsbook and watch the game instead. Because that is specifically the Circa Sportsbook is the single most exciting sports or gambling related activity that I could engage in.
It is absolutely stunning, and I can't wait for you guys to see it.
I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to go to the pool and getting sports bet there and hang out at the pool and have some drinks.
I am not excited to sports bet though. I mean, it's just we're out there. We're going to bet on something right now. It's hard to just go on sports.
Right. I'm going to play it like a casual for the most part.
Sure.
Unless I get.
Yeah.
You know, if I see a tip, okay, I'll walk to the counter and bet it. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, when I was there, I probably bet on 5 games over 5 days. And it was like NBA was popping. There was stuff going on. So, like, when I got a tip that I didn't want to resist, I did bet it. But it's kind of funny to think about that amount wagered compared to everything else I bet on. Right.
I'm actually kind of struggling, guys, because we had asked the question during last week's production meeting of what games do we think is going to be the most fun to play.
Yeah.
I think I'm in a good position. I'm not getting too high or too low about anything in particular.
Casino game-wise.
Yeah. Like, I think I'll probably be most interested in sitting down at a roulette wheel and throwing some cash around.
Good choice.
But the craps I'm a little worried about because you guys are all 10 layers deeper than I'm going to be in terms of crap strategy. And I don't know really what I'm going to end up doing then.
So, yeah. Yeah.
We have plenty of videos. Plenty of videos.
You got some free time on your hands coming
up. Yeah.
Have you caught up with them?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he already was like, you're already like a sophomore craps player, right? Because you're just like, yeah, give me every number, and you kind of know the pay table.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not playing the hard ways and, dollar you yield dealer.
You play the whole board.
Right. Like, give me a cross.
Give me the cross.
Pass line. Yeah, all that jazz.
I'm a little bit, obviously, more conservative, so I'm not doing that. That's a little crazy.
Like your sports gambling.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right.
It's a little crazy.
It's like, I don't feel it if I don't have 50 units at risk. all right. So this is a good point. I didn't really think of this, but like I should probably make like some micro content for you and our 27 followers on Twitter.
Not only that, but
the people
like,
coming with us.
We have close friends from our lives who don't care about any of the stuff that we really talk about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm more in their camp with the craps thing
than I
am in your camp with the craps thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys saw my picture from a couple of weeks ago, but I did actually order them some gambling books.
Did you really? That's awesome.
So it's like there's like these hilarious 1983 books. It's like the Playboy's Guide to Craps.
I saw that. Yeah,
so I ordered multiple copies off eBay so we can send them to Walt and Pat.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's like happy early birthday present. Here's a 900-page craps book. Please read it all before you get to Vegas.
I watch them come back, win more than anybody. Oh, my God.
They'd be like, why are you doing it that way? That's not what the book says. That's not what the book from 1983 says.
The good news is based on my last experience with blackjack, I have no interest in sitting down at a blackjack table. Maybe ever again. Maybe ever again.
I mean, I will definitely play blackjack while we're out there, but it is a terrible game.
It is. Ugh.
Watching paint dry.
I know.
Now,
every once in a while, the paint kicks you in the balls.
Speaking of blackjack, my degenerate definitely wants to play this carny version of blackjack that I saw on Twitter.
Speaking of made-up football dice games.
Do you know what casino it's at?
I have to go digging through my Twitter feed.
All right, so let's hear what it is.
So it's a version of blackjack. The dealer wins on 2022.
Oh, sounds great. I'm sold.
And you get to split anything for free and double down for free.
What do you mean for free? Like they put another chip out for you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of interesting.
They double your stake for you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, we'll have to fact check that before we send a bunch of all of our listeners to the casino tomorrow to lose their inheritance.
This feels like O'Shea's football game where Kurt thinks you can't lose, but in reality,
well, I mean, you're definitely going to lose on going from 21 to 22 is huge.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, obviously it is, or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
You bust on 22?
No. You can't go to 22. The dealer can go to 22.
Okay.
Yeah. This sounds awful.
I will not be trying this game. I see no reason to try this game.
I'm guessing it's like a max $10 bet. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll back your 10 to split the, you know.
This is hilarious.
The eights.
Are you saying they got a Carney blackjack game running sham promos associated with double downs?
Never heard of such a scam. What do they think of next?
I got to go find this tweet because this guy's throwing his hands up in the air, and he's like, "Can you believe this? The dealer won on 22." And all these people are commenting in the sections like, "Yeah, that's the rigged blackjack game they got, buddy." And my first thought is like, "We gotta go."
All right.
That is why I cannot wait to go to Las Vegas with you.
So. Craps is RJ's preferred game. I'm still most excited about the sports gambling, and you are going to say craps, but in reality, we all know you're most excited to play random Carney games you stumble upon in different casinos where you have no idea what the payouts are relative to the investment, and you just know, ooh, the lights are sparkly at that one.
Ooh, 400 to 1 payout on bonus.
That is correct.
Please tell, yes, so you think I just nailed the reality of
yeah you
situation.
Nailed the reality.
That's awesome.
I'm going to watch you bet on so much stupid stuff. And I'm not going to try to talk you out of it.
No,
like at that football game, I was in your ear for like 40 minutes. Like, Kurt, you don't understand how this works. They don't understand how this works. They made it up yesterday. Stop playing.
I find this whole thing ironic because we're sitting here talking about this Vegas topic, and I'm looking at the rundown for the next topic for us to discuss, and it says, Kurt, familiarize yourself with the promos, yet you're sitting here actively talking about going to Vegas, and what we all know you're going to do is go randomly play games where you have no idea what the math is behind the game.
Or the rules.
I'll figure it out.
Of course. Right? He's going to bring his calculator.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
No, this is great.
We'll ask the dealer.
All right. So, okay, real quick before we move on. Casino games. I am super excited to play Baccarat for the first time. I've never played that. But
I haven't either.
But apparently it's like Paikau style. Like all you do is you just pick the player or the dealer.
Yeah.
And you just always pick the dealer. Because there's like a nickel more house advantage on the other one. And you can just, it's like, you know, you get two cards. And if you're between 17 and 24, you get an extra card or something. Who knows what the rules are, but you don't really have to play. But I'm going to practice that because that's what I'm going to play when I'm retired.
So it's a drinking game.
I think so. Yes. and stadium craps / roulette / blackjack / all of that.
I'm out on every single game that could possibly be perceived as boring. I will not sit down at a single Paikau table while I'm out there. Yeah. I'm not sitting down at a blackjack table while I'm out there. My whole goal for the entire trip is adrenaline. I want as much adrenaline. Okay. I've been talking this up from day one about going and doing crazy things. In my gambling, I want adrenaline. In my day-to-day life there, I want adrenaline. I want to come back feeling like I really just experienced life.
Well, you just want to play craps.
Right.
That's it. It's the most adrenaline game in the casino,
yeah,
by far.
We're going to have huge markers.
Yes. Yes. We should make the call tomorrow.
Another marker for Mr. Bond over here.
I'm good with whatever, but the gambling is also a small part of the adrenaline.
Sure.
So we'll see what else we can get. Yep. And if anyone in the audience has any suggestions, we've been tossing around things we can do.
Good tease. You know,
skydiving was on the
line. Oh, my God. No way.
ATV racing. I've heard the Sidewinders are actually really fun. More fun than the ATVs.
What's a Sidewinder?
It's the ones where you're in the car with the cage and you're driving.
Oh.
Instead of on the ATV with the handlebars.
Oh, okay.
You're actually like driving it, but like you're in a little like buggy almost.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've heard those because you go faster in those. They got more maneuverability, things like that.
All right, so we'll put up a questionnaire. What should we do, not gambling wise, for adrenaline in Las Vegas? and let's talk through that next week.
Sounds Make sure great. The last option in that is gambling.
We are sickies. So, like Pete's trying to have a vacation and like enjoy himself. Yeah, we're just like, yeah. I'll see you at the craps table, bud.
Straight when we get there to straight to when we get there. We're just going to live on the floor.
Keep the coffee coming. Keep right. the
coffee coming.
Yeah. Did you see that picture I posted of that guy sleeping at the slot machine?
That was good. All right. So in order to go to Vegas, we're going to need a proper bankroll, each of us. You guys are talking about markers. Hmm. I have been squirreling away some of the money that I've gotten from sports gambling, but I would like to do a better job of that, and I know a lot of people out there who have been curious about how we're winning and how we've managed to do so well are curious to know a little bit more about what's going on and what we might recommend for newbies starting out in the business. And so I think this is a good point for us to kind of take a step back and just talk about some of the things that we found most important. And so the task identified was to each come up with one thing that we think is pretty darn important starting out and talk a little bit about why. So RJ, do you have anything that you believe is the most single most important tip for someone starting out new in the business?
Yeah. First of all, shout out to like the 8 people that have listened to the show that have no idea what's going on.
Right.
So yeah, we are doing this. Hopefully we can teach a few people how to bet on sports a little bit better that have no idea what they're doing, so they can enjoy it as much as we do. Not nearly as much as we do, but some more than they do. All right, anyway, back to the point. So I gotta believe like one of the big lessons and things you gotta learn early on is just like the bankroll management aspect, setting aside a certain amount of funds, betting 1% of that to get started for your unit size. We had a lot of questions about what a unit size is. So yeah, it's just like 1% of whatever you are cool with losing all of, betting on sports. So that would be my number one thing. You know, if Joe, anybody walks up on the street like, hey, I'm gonna start betting on sports, what should I do? Be like, all right, go find $1,000 and bet 1% on a game. It's like, well, that's not enough. I'm never gonna get rich doing that. And it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of the grind, bud.
I started out 2 years ago placing $10 wagers off of a less than $1,000, off of a $500 bankroll.
Yeah.
So I was betting 2%. And that was after a period of trial and error. That's what I would call the reset when I started doing it the correct way and following your model.
Right. Because at first it's just like, oh, yeah, $50, $75. Let me just bet some stuff on some, like I got a little extra cash in my first community money or whatever. Yeah.
For the first year, I didn't have a unit size.
Right. Okay, yes.
It was whatever I had available to bet for my personal checking account because I kept having to redeposit.
So yeah, don't do that. That's actually the key. It's not maybe less about in bankroll management. What I'm trying to say is like, yeah, you have to have a set amount that you're willing to lose, but then you have to bet the same amount pretty much every bet when you're getting started, so that you learn how to lose, you learn how to win, you learn the streaks, all that stuff, and you stay consistent. And then you know you're going to find out how hard it is to go 55% 11 out of 20. And maybe it's not for you.
Or maybe you pick up on some of the other tips that we're going to be suggesting throughout, and you'll find your path and you'll find success as well. I kind of gave yours away, Kurt, but what was the key point you wanted to make?
So when you first, I know I had this problem when I first started signing up for all the online sports books, and that was the number of promotions. So all the books out there that we have available and you'll have available no matter what state you're in are going to have a promo for your first deposit. And not every sports book offers the same type of promo. Not all the sports books offer the same amount as far as what you deposit and what they're going to give you in return for your deposit and for your first wager. So it's very key to understand how much you have to put in, because you want to reap the max if possible. If possible, if you can, if you have a bankroll large enough, you want to be able to afford the maximum return on your promo, because that's going to net you the most profit in return.
RJ, real quick, on the promo related entry, I've historically been deemed no hedge. Is this an automatic hedge scenario where you just suck those initial promo dollars out? Or
absolutely. Yep. Because some of these books, like, you get like $1,000 risk-free bet.
Right.
The last thing we're going to do is let somebody bet $1,000 on the first game they've ever chosen. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Right? So it's like, okay, just if you're going to do $1,000, you have to have $2,000. Bet on both teams. You're going to lose the juice, but one of them is going to lose. You're going to get a free bet and go nuts with that if you want.
Yeah.
Or it's like, okay, really like hedge for less. It's like, okay, I want to be $100 better. It's like, okay, bet $1,000 on one team, bet $900 on the other. And now you got $100 at risk. And like, yeah, you're paying extra juice, but when the one loses, you get all the free money.
So what he's essentially saying is you're gonna find yourself signing up for two books, right?
Optimally, yes.
And one's gonna have you bet $1,000. If your stake loses, we're gonna give you $1,000 free bet.
Right.
It's gonna be along the lines of that. So you're gonna find two books that have similar offer, right? One might be $1,200, the other one might be $1,000, one might be $500.
Yeah.
Right. What you're going to do is you're gonna bet on one game. And on one book, you're going to bet one side of the line. On the other book, you're going to bet the other side of the line. You're going to pay the juice, right? So if it's a minus 110,
yeah,
you're going to lose $100, but you're going to gain a $1,000 free bet.
Right.
And you're going to win one side of your wager.
Right.
So you're essentially paying $100 to get a $1,000 free bet from the casino.
Right. And then, most importantly, do it again.
Yeah. So most, you know, for example, we're in Illinois. So we have 8 books.
Well, I just mean use your free bet and bet on the other side.
Oh, yes.
Again.
Yes.
So you get the actual money.
Yes.
And if you do that, your bankroll will go by 40% in one day.
Yep.
And that will take you months of learning how to gamble to grow that fast.
Yes. So if you play the promos correctly, you could take your $2,000 bankroll essentially to $4,000?
Not quite. Like, let's say $3,000.
$3,000?
Without trying.
Without doing anything.
And if you have possibly found this podcast before you've done this, ask us. We will help you do it.
Yes.
Ask the internet. Like, I can't believe I was trying to do this with a pencil and paper when I started doing this, or when we were driving to Iowa to scam them out of this. And it's just like, oh yeah, why didn't I just Google it?
Shoot us a tweet, shoot us a DM, yeah. Instagram, Twitter,
whatever state media. You're in. I will personally help you figure this out, so you will grow your bankroll at least 35% in two bets if you're eligible.
And I would just like to clarify that if you're not a $1,000 bankroll bettor, say you have $500, you can do the same thing.
Yes.
With that percentage of your bankroll. It's all relative to the percentage of your bankroll. So we would recommend that full amount if you can, for the purposes of maximizing the benefits of the promotion. But I wouldn't say it should be a deterrent if you don't have $2,000 as an entry level bettor to deposit whatever your amount is.
Yeah.
Utilize those and play them off against each other. Just know the return is going to be substantially smaller than the overall free bet.
That is a significant amount of money. Yeah. Like, let's not downplay that.
But there's nothing wrong from starting with $500 and taking that, doing $250, and then you grow up to $1,200.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Whatever you do, do not sign up for a book and get your first bet risk-free and let them tricking you into betting the Chicago Bulls score one plus point in the game.
Because
that's exactly what they're going to try to do. And don't bet $10 on that. So it's just like, think it through, take a breath. You're going to be really excited to bet on a sport, but like, you don't have to bet on this first sport in your face.
A lot of the books will try to say, hey, bet $5 on the fight tonight. Or
Win $100 no matter what.
And win $100 no matter what. You don't want that promo.
Well, I mean, take it. Take that promo. But don't let it be your first bet, because your first bet is risk-free.
Yes.
And if you do it on that, you're not getting the first bet risk-free.
I should have clarified that.
I think you guys have summed up what my number one takeaway or my number one point is: communicating with others throughout this process.
Oh,
whether
yeah.
that's Twitter, mm-hmm. whether you find your own, you know, you're on Reddit and you're looking there, wherever you're finding your interaction with others, find that niche within this space. And look to interact with the individuals that are on there, because they're, for the most part, if you show a genuine interest in learning, anyone who is a content creator of any kind in the space seems to be genuinely friendly and approachable. in that regard. So that's how you're going to get that information. That's how you're going to learn those things. And I think what our key takeaway here is, what I'm hearing at least, is when you start off with sports gambling, the first thing you want to do is take a deep breath.
I'm picturing myself in the backseat of your car when we drove to Indiana to go to that Celtics game. And I'm just like, I don't know, risk-free, this sounds too good to be true. I guess I'll just put $20 on Gordon Hayward to score 8 points.
Right. So take a deep breath. Understand, before I place my first bet, I need to think about my bankroll. And how am I going to get to my bankroll? You have your initial number to work off, and then you want to use that number you have to further build your initial bankroll via the promotional offers that are made on the site. And the best promotional offer you're going to get on the site is a risk-free first bet that can be wagered up to $1,000. And so you take half of whatever your bankroll is, put half on one side on one book, half on the other. You're going to win one of those bets, and the one you lose, you're going to get a free bet. You then take your next bet, place cash on that equal to the amount of your bet you're looking to use the free bet on, then bet the other side with the free bet, and then you cash it out for cash.
Voila, free money. Like, it's actually unbelievable.
That's your step number one. You look into it from others on how to do it.
Yeah.
You identify your bankroll and what you want your general unit size to be, and then you familiarize yourself with the promos and attack them in a manner that shows some semblance of a strategy.
Yeah, well said.
Okay. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us this week. We hope to talk to you guys soon.